Shall we turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and we'll read, please, at verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Chapter 19, just verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now God will bless what we have been hearing at this portion that we have read together tonight. Now I believe that what's upon my mind is very important tonight because we have read of the experience of a man who had his last opportunity of coming in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who knew his need, a man who desired his eyesight, and a man who knew that he would not receive his eyesight unless he made a tremendous effort and made it his one business to come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust that there are those in the meeting tonight, and you are making it your one business and your one aim in life to get the matter of your soul salvation settled. Nothing else is so vital. Nothing else is so important as the matter of where your soul is going to be forever. We're here for a moment and we're gone into eternity. It's heaven or it's hell for all eternity. Never ending. And tonight could be the time when you will make your choice for eternity. And I hope you make your choice for heaven. We read the last verse there, 19 and 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jericho, as most of us know, means the city of the curse. Jesus entered into that city. He passed through it. And that was the last time when here on earth that the Lord Jesus passed through the city of Jericho. From there on, as we began to read in verse 31, the Lord Jesus describes how he is on his way to Jerusalem and what is going to happen to him at Jerusalem, where he's going to be despitefully used and he's going to be mocked and he's going to be spit upon and he's going to be crucified, and the third day he is going to rise again. And really, that's the substance of the gospel, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. But let me remind you that this time, as the Lord Jesus passed through this town, this little place called Jericho, about 20 miles from Jerusalem, it was the last time that Jesus was to pass through that city at that time. When I was thinking of this, I thought of the Lord Jesus coming from heaven. When he came into this world, man, and he came into this world, he passed through the conditions of the sickness and sorrow of human beings as he passed through, and he met the need of one here and the need of one there, but he came with a purpose of going to Calvary to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He passed through the conflicts of Calvary with all its suffering, with all its pain, with all its sorrow. He passed under the curse of God because of your sin and because of mine. That's why the Lord Jesus hung in the darkness of Calvary and bore the wrath and judgment of a holy God. It was in order that your sin might be dealt with, in order that my sin might be dealt with. And the blood that was shed at Calvary is sufficient tonight to put away the sin of a guilty world. But it's only good to those who make it good to themselves, those who are willing to come, as we've been hearing, in dependence upon what God has said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It says that Jesus entered, and he passed through. But I think tonight, as the gospel is being preached in this day of grace, Jesus has come, and he's passing by. I believe it's possible for some in our meeting that the Lord Jesus may be passing by for the last time. Oh, this man, when he heard that news, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. This man was in earnest about the matter of his blindness. This man knew that he had a need, and this man was going to grasp the opportunity, and he wasn't going to let it go by. You know, it was necessary for the blind man to be there when the Lord Jesus was coming along the way. And we're thankful to God that there are those that are here tonight, and you're here to listen to the Word of God, and we hope that you're here to get healing for your sin-sick soul. We hope that you're making it your aim to get the matter of your soul salvation settled, because Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And this man, he might have sat for years and otherwise been indifferent, but he grasped the infinite importance of the moment. And oh, I hope you grasp tonight, friend, the infinite importance of this moment when Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I believe every time that the gospel is preached and every time that the Lord Jesus is presented as the Savior of man, it's a time when he's passing by with the opportunity of giving salvation to those who will receive him and will believe the simple message of a Savior's love. The Lord Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. He's passing by tonight. I wonder if there's anyone here who would really like to know salvation, to meet the Lord Jesus. You know, it came to my mind when I was sitting there about a time when I was just a lad back in the city of Toronto, and there were visitors came to Toronto. Nobility came to Toronto. The king and the queen came to visit our city. And I'll never forget, as they took us down to one of the large parks in the city, all the school children were gathered there in that park. And there were thousands and thousands of school children. And they had a passageway made, just like a winding river, through that crowd of young people. And we stood there that day. And to our young hearts, it was a thrill to think that the king and the queen were actually going to come, and we're going to get a sight of them. And I'll never forget, as that limousine pulled around the bend and came just alongside of where I was standing, I could have reached out my hand and touched the limousine as it passed by. I could have reached out and touched the hand of the king or the queen or his daughters as they passed along. And I thought to myself as I looked there, and I was just a little fellow, and oh, what a thrill. Just to see the king, and to see the queen, and to see the rest of the royal family sitting there just a few feet away from me. My little heart was thrilled. But oh, friend, listen. Somebody far more important than the king or the queen is passing by tonight. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Another time I stood on the wharf in the little community of Red Bay where we lived for a number of years. And a big ship pulled in, and then they brought a party in a small vessel to the wharf. And it just so happened that I was the first one to be introduced to the lieutenant governor of Newfoundland at that time. And I thought that was quite an honor, to shake hands with the lieutenant governor. And I walked all the way from the wharf up to the school, where they had a cup of coffee or tea or something for us, and we were served something to eat, and I had the opportunity of talking to that man, the lieutenant governor, the representative of the Queen in our province. And I thought, what an honor. Oh, friend, what an honor that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and paid the price of redemption by dying on the cross. And he's passing by tonight, and he's offering sinners, offering you an opportunity of the salvation of your soul for eternity. What an opportunity. I want to tell you, friend, that if you don't grasp it tonight, you may miss the blessing of salvation. Do you know this? I was just noticing, came to my mind, I don't know the actual statistics, but I know this, that the majority of men and women get God's salvation before the age of 20. The majority. From 20 on to perhaps 40, there's a few more that get saved. From 40 on to about 60, there's less, the percentage gets less all the time. And when you get up to over that age, there's only about 1 in a million that ever gets saved. Though as I think time passes by and people put off the matter of their salvation, like that man we were hearing about, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But old friend, here was a man, and he was in desperation. And I want to tell you, when I got to that place where I recognized, if I die in my sins, my soul will be in hell. I was in dead earnest. I wanted God's salvation more than anything else in the world. And when I sat at the back of that hall on that Sunday morning, I've mentioned many times, I tell you, I wanted to be saved more than anything else. I didn't care about my friends. I didn't care about the future. I didn't care about anything else. I wanted to know for sure that my soul was saved and I'd never be in the flames of hell. Oh, friend, it's a solemn business to go on without Christ. And especially in gospel meetings where God has come in and saved others. Oh, it's a time when Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Dear old man, 73 years of age, in that little community of Red Bay, we're preaching one night on this text, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he went home. And he began to realize that if he didn't get the matter settled, he was going to be lost forever. Got down on his knees, and Uncle Fred Ash, that old man, he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. He told us afterwards, he said, you know, I served the devil for almost 70 years. He said, in fact, I was doing a good job for him. He said, I took up the collection at the church. It didn't sound to me much like serving the devil, but that's what he called it, as far as he was concerned. He was doing a lot of good in the church. He was a lay reader and all that. But he said, here I am. I've served Satan for all these years. And finally, he said, I thought I could just see Jesus of Nazareth passing by. And he said, I realized if I don't get it now, I may never get it. Oh, friend, listen, if you don't get God's salvation now, you may never get salvation. I noticed about this man there by the roadside begging. There he was in his blindness. Oh, I'm telling you today, Satan has the minds of men and women so blinded. You may not think that's true. You may think you know all about it. Or some have tried to get saved and you find out you can't get saved just as easy as you'd like to get saved. You know what the trouble is? Satan has the mind blinded, confused, and he wants to keep you confused. But oh, salvation is so simple. We've been hearing tonight that it's simple. Trust in the Word of God, resting on what God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I want to say this man that was in dead earnest, he began to cry out,
Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, there were those that tried to shut him up. There's always those who will try and get you over your difficulty and say, don't let those men get you too excited. Don't get too worked up about it. You can get saved any time. It doesn't work that way, friend, I want to tell you. You can't get saved any time. Felix might have thought he'd get it at another time. He thought he had a convenient season, a time when he felt he could get the matter settled. But friend, his time passed by, and Jesus of Nazareth is passing by tonight, and you can't get saved when you like. You'll get saved when you want God's salvation more than anything else in this world. That's when you'll get it, when you're determined. And this man was full of determination. And I like to think about this man. When he cried out, he cried to the right person. No good to him to cry to anybody else. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, there's people and they try everything today. They try their creeds and they try their doctrines and they try their beliefs and all the rest of these things. They follow this man and they follow that man. My friend, there's only one can give you the forgiveness of sins tonight. He cried to the right person. He cried to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, the Bible tells us, the apostle, when he was preaching, he said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Friend, if you're going to have your sins put away, it'll have to be through the man who died for your sin at Calvary. Oh, what does he mean to you tonight? The man that died for me, the man that died upon the cross is the one that has saved my soul from hell. Oh, if we could just get you to the cross, to the person of Christ. It reminds me of a little girl that was lost in London. Maybe you've heard the incident. They tell me things have changed over in that particular spot. But this little girl was lost in the city of London. One of those big London bobbies, this was a number of years ago, saw her standing there weeping. And he went over to her and he said, my dear, he said, what's the trouble? She said, sir, I'm lost. I don't know my way home. Well, he said, do you know the street you live on? No, sir, she said, I can't think of the street. He said, do you, can you think of anything near your home that I would recognize? And she couldn't seem to think of anything. He said, is it down that street there? I think it was Buckingham Palace was down there. And he mentioned that with a big gate and where the guards change and so on. No, that didn't seem to ring a bell with her at all. And then he pointed down another way and he said, away over there, is that statue of Nelson there sitting on the horse? Would it be anywhere near there? And that didn't seem to ring a bell. And the little girl was just so upset. And then he thought of another place. He said, would it be down there where that great stone cross is? They tell me the Charing Cross doesn't have a stone cross there. Now, I don't know. I haven't been there. But anyhow, that's how the story went. And there was that stone cross. And as soon as she heard the word cross, she said, oh, sir, she said, take me to the cross. He said, I'll find my way home from there. I'll find my way home from there. I want to tell you, sinner, if you could just get to the cross tonight, you'll find your way home. You get to the cross of Calvary, to the bleeding, dying Lamb of God who died to put away your sin. Friend, he came from glory and he gave us all in order that you might be saved. There came that moment in my experience when all my own efforts were of no avail. I had tried everything I could try. And I had to give up. I said, oh God, I'll just have to go to hell. I couldn't see a way out. And the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, Isaiah 53:6, took me away yonder to Calvary. And I saw the Lord Jesus bearing my sin in his own body on the tree. All my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on them, and believing, I go free. Friend, you could have salvation tonight if you can get to the cross. of the Lord Jesus Christ. I notice about this man, for what did he cry? He cried for mercy. He cried for the right thing. Friend, what you need tonight is mercy. Mercy. You see, if you had what you deserved, you'd be in hell. Do you believe that? Oh, you say it's kind of hard to take in. My friend, I came to that place where I recognized if I had what I justly deserve, my soul would be in hell. I've sinned against God. My sins deserve judgment. And the worst of all, I had kept the Lord Jesus Christ on the outside of my life. And I knew that I needed mercy. That's why the prayer of that poor publican reached heaven. The poor Pharisee there, his prayer didn't get any higher than the ceiling. Went up to the temple, the two of them. And the Pharisee said, Lord, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. I don't do this and I don't do that and I do the other thing. I give tithes and all that I possess. And he said, I'm not like this poor publican down here. I don't live that kind of a life. But old friend, listen, the Lord Jesus said he prayed thus with himself. That's all it was. Little prayer all about himself. But the poor publican, he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friend, I want to tell you, that's the cry that God is waiting for tonight. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Oh, friend, what you need is mercy tonight, and there's salvation for you. I want to tell you that he cried in the right way. He cried in dead earnest. He meant business. He wouldn't let up. Why, there were those, and they tried to rebuke him. They said, be quiet. Don't make so much noise. Friend, listen, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. You know, that awful, damnable thing called pride keeps so many from God's salvation. Friend, what does it matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says or anything else? It's your soul that's at stake. It's you that's going to be in the flames of hell and the lake of fire forever unless you make one tremendous effort and make up your mind, I'm going to settle this matter. I'm going to settle it now. I don't care what it means. I don't care what it costs. This man was in dead earnest for the salvation, for the blindness that he had. And I'll tell you this moreover, that he cried at the right time. Right now, Jesus was passing by. This is the time, friend, for you. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Wonder if he's passing by for the last time for some. Oh, there's so many and they're being ushered out into eternity. You may be gone before tomorrow's sunrise. Friend, this is the time, oh, then be wise, thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Friend, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I hope it burns into your soul tonight that the Savior is passing by and you may be getting your last opportunity. I don't know if you remember reading it a few years ago, but a dear girl and her brother that got into the Niagara River. Their uncle took them out for a little ride in the boat. In the upper Niagara. And he had a little outboard motor, just a very small one. And he went down pretty close to where the river gets swift and into the rapids. And he thought there was enough power in that little motor to take them back up the river again. The little fellow that he had, his little nephew, had a life preserver on. And his niece, who was a little older, she had a life preserver on. He didn't have one on. And when he turned to go back again, the little engine stalled. And he kept trying to get it started. But the boat got into the current and started going down into the rapids and down the river. And then it struck a rock and the boat broke. And the man went into the water. They never saw him again. The young woman and her little brother were thrown into the water. And of course they tried to They tried to swim. The little fellow was carried off in the current. There was the falls not very far ahead. And it wasn't long until the little fellow bobbing along in the water went sailing over the falls. And his sister came along. And she was swimming. She was a pretty good swimmer, and she swam for all she was worth, and she got a hold of a rock, and she hung on to that rock for quite a long time. She wasn't very far from the edge of the falls. A number of tourists were gathered around there on the railing on the American side, and they saw what happened. This girl was just not very far up the stream. And there was a big colored man, and he got down over the rail, and he got a hold of another man's hand, and he got down as low as he could to the water. And he called to the girl. He said, "Swim for the shore, and come over this way as close as you can." And they were only a few feet from that precipice, from that waterfall. And the girl, she left her rock, and she swam as hard as she could to try and get across. And she was just coming down along the edge. There was only one chance. And that big colored man reached down, and he just caught a hold of her fingers. And he held on. And the other man began to help him, and they pulled her up. And they managed to save her just before she went over the edge. First thing she said was, "What about my brother? Where's my brother?" They couldn't tell her anything at the moment. But you know, a strange thing happened. That little boy was so buoyant. He went over the falls. He went into the current down below. He went out where the mate of the mist goes, and somebody saw the life preserver. And they launched a boat and went out and got him. And the little fellow was still alive. Managed to get over the falls. Doesn't very often happen. But I thought, when I heard about that young woman, oh, she was just moments from going over the edge. There was somebody there to pluck her out just at the last minute. Friend, listen, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This might be the last time for you, the last opportunity. Oh, why not grasp the lifeline tonight? Why not take Christ as your Savior? Friend, the opportunity's passing. The meetings will soon be over. It may be that the Lord will come and the saints will be gone. And there won't be another meeting in this building. Every meeting it's announced, it's in the will of the Lord. If the Lord doesn't come, friend, if the Lord were to come tonight, that would be the end. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. A big colored man was up for murder. The time of his execution came a few years ago. They were taking him to the electric chair. They strapped him into the electric chair. The moments passed by. It was just about time for the execution to take place. They asked him if there was anything he would like to do or say before his execution. He was a beautiful singer. And he began to sing words like these. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." And the time came, the executioner pulled the switch, and the man went out into eternity. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." Friend, listen, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What are you going to do with him tonight? Are you going to grasp the opportunity? Are you going to get the matter settled? Are you going to miss it? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, "What will he do with me?" Friend, he wants to save you. He's willing to save you. He's able to save you. If you'll come as a poor sinner tonight, will you come? Will you rest your all on the work of Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what? Believe that he died for your sins at Calvary. How do we know, friend? Because, as we've heard, the Word of God tells us that Jesus died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, friend, can you take the place of ungodly tonight? What does it mean? It means ungodlike. It means that you're a sinner deserving the judgment of God. It means that you're helpless. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, when we couldn't do anything to save ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. God says it. That's the word of God. And we've heard already tonight the words of the Lord Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It can be yours tonight. I want you to remember, as you leave this meeting, that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This is your golden opportunity. Settle the matter of your soul salvation now. Don't miss it. It's for eternity. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to Thee at the close of the meeting. We thank Thee for the privilege again of opening Thy Word in this day of grace. We know, Father, soon the opportunity will be over, when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door. Then we read, shall ye begin to stand without and to knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. We know, Father, that soon those of us who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ will hear the shout, and will be caught up, no wings required, caught up by love inspired to meet him in the air. O Father, we thank Thee that in the meantime, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. We do pray that some precious soul tonight will trust the Lord Jesus, will believe Thy word, will give God credit for telling the truth, and will come by simple faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend Thy word to Thee, and we ask Thy blessing, and give Thee our heartfelt thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, in His own peerless, precious name. Amen.